2 Timothy, chapter 4, verse 6. No, I'm sorry, we're at verse 5. We haven't done 5 yet. We spent much time on verse 4. They shall turn away their ears from the truth and shall be turned unto fables. And verse 5, but the implication is, but as for you, watch thou in all things. Endure afflictions. Do the work of an evangelist. Make full proof of thy ministry. But watch is de nephil. And it's a fascinating word for this. And we miss the meaning of it if we didn't look at the Greek. It means to be free from the influence of intoxicants. Intoxicants. To be sober. Now, it's in relationship to everything else that they've... what they've said, and don't turn aside unto fables, but watch or be free from intoxicants. The intoxicant that is the destroyer of the plan or the mystery of God is the wine of Ephraim. Let's go there to Isaiah 28. Woe to the... everybody there? Verse 1. Isaiah 28. Woe to the crown of pride, to the drunkards of Ephraim, whose glorious beauty is a fading flower, which are on the head of the fat valleys of them that are overcome with wine. And it goes on and on about the drunkards of Ephraim. It talks about many places where you're drunk, but not with wine. And again, the intoxication of the wine of Ephraim, or the intoxication of self-seeking, is more addictive than any alcohol, than any drug. Self-preservation, self-seeking, the fruit of the curse, the great transgression, the one lie. It's the most intoxicating thing there is to the human race. And that's called the wine of Ephraim, or the wine of self-seeking. And so here, the contrast, instead of following, being turned aside from the truth, being put out of joint so that you don't even know the truth, you believe a lie. The lie that you believe is that you've returned to the lie of Adam, which is self-seeking. Amen? So, but watch, let's go to a couple more. Let's go to 1 Thessalonians. Is everybody here?
Up here. It's going to be here.
No, I'm talking about here internally.
Gary's not
here. No. I know Gary's not here. I mean, those that are present, are you here? All right. First Thessalonians chapter 5. But of the times and the seasons, brethren, you have no need that I write unto you, for yourselves know perfectly that the day of the Lord so cometh as a thief in the night. For when they shall say peace and safety, then sudden destruction cometh upon them, as travail upon a woman with child, and they shall not escape. But ye, brethren, are not in darkness, that the day should overtake you as a thief. You are all the children of light and the children of the day. We are not of the night nor of the darkness. Therefore, let us not sleep as do others, but let us watch and be sober. Again, watch as nepho. Be free from an intoxicant and be sober. Now, how do you...
So, in that case, it's sort of doubling it, because it says watch and be sober. Is sober a different word there?
Yeah, it means... sober is the one that means right thinking.
Okay.
But watch is to be free from intoxicants.
Okay.
All right? Anybody see the subtlety of this? It isn't very subtle at all. How quickly you move into self. What does this mean to me? Amen? All right, let's go to 1 Peter chapter 1. See, John with his little toy, he gets there before everybody else because he's got his Bible on a telephone.
I have a Bible on this little computer.
Is it the Bible phone?
Could be. I could call it that. My Bible.
Did you say John or 1 John?
I didn't say either one. I said 1 Peter.
Oh, I'm sorry.
That's a trick question.
That was a trick question.
I was talking about John over here, this John. But the Bible we're going to is 1 Peter. So we're talking both about the people that are ruining our Bible study, Peter and John. First Peter chapter 1. It's talking about the trial of your faith is more precious than gold. Faith is a dime a dozen, but it's the trial of faith that proves the faith to you that's precious. And then in verse 8, it's talking about Jesus, whom having not seen you love, in whom, though now you see him not, yet believing you rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory, receiving the end of your faith, even the salvation of your souls, of which salvation the prophets have inquired and searched diligently, who prophesied of the grace that should come unto you, searching what or what manner of time the Spirit of Christ which was in them did signify when it testified beforehand that the sufferings of Christ and the glory that should follow, unto whom it was revealed that not unto themselves, but unto us, did they minister the things which are now reported unto you by them that have preached the gospel unto you with the Holy Ghost sent down from heaven, which things angels desire to look into. Now, because of all that, because you've been given freely what angels and everything else desire to look into, verse 13, wherefore, gird up the loins of your mind, be sober, and hope to the end for the grace that is to be brought unto you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. Now, the I motive cannot be on the mercy seat. The moment you apply these scriptures to your flesh, then you've left the mercy seat. And so the call to be sober and to watch and to exhort one another daily, what it is still called today, is that you would remain and keep that position on the mercy seat. But the moment your mind goes, and you'll blame it on somebody else. Harry used to blame the fact that his mind went to himself on me all the time because, you know, I call him out on something. Well, the point of this is that no matter what happens, no matter what anyone else does, you can never return to the I motive because therein is drunkenness. Okay? All right, one more. Chapter 4. 1 Peter chapter 4. What?
I was thinking of all the times that he got pissed off at me.
That's okay. I hit the X one. You're bored.
Where are we going?
Verse chapter 4 of the same book. Excuse me. Verse 5. Who shall give account to him that is ready to judge the quick and the dead? For this cause was the gospel preached also to them that are dead, that they might be judged according to men in the flesh, but live according to God in the Spirit. But the end of all things is at hand. Be therefore sober and watch unto prayer. So again, and this watch here is Nepho. Be free from intoxicants. I can't say that word, intoxicants. Did I say it right?
Yes.
Just doesn't, it doesn't sound right to me. All right. Everybody understand what watch means? Back to 2 Thessalonians. But watch thou in all things.
2 Timothy.
I mean 2 Timothy. Isn't that what I said?
No.
Oh.
You got intoxicants right.
We recommend you.
I'm still goofy. I'm still goofy. Well, I've always been goofy. Okay, 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 5. But watch thou in all things, endure afflictions. It's in the Greek, it's kakopathos or pathio. Pathos is just means, you know, whatever, the emotional and intellectual condition here, it says. And then it's kako. Kako is evil. So it's anything you think of it that is evil, don't try to get out from under it. Endure. Wait on the Lord. I've told you this story before, but When Barry held me hostage, Barry was drunk, and Barry had a 45. And, you know, there were times when I knew I could have taken him. But I also knew that if I did that, I would have to kill him. Now, to me, in my own experience, that condition of enduring that unbelievable state was only there because I knew as a believer, I couldn't kill him. And then I would have had to take care of the two guys outside the room. And I'm not saying it's anything heroic. I'm just saying that when that thought process was going on, I knew I wouldn't have before. I wouldn't have had any issue about killing somebody that was holding me hostage. That would have been duck soup. But I couldn't do it as a believer. And it wasn't anything that I did. It wasn't anything, any decision that I made. It was a situation in which I couldn't remain faithful to what I knew and take that action. Now that's a big dramatic thing, but it happens daily in the small things. When everything in you says take some action, do something, and but God says stand still. Wait on him only. And that's wherein your faith is proven to you. That's when you know when these experiences have happened over and over and over in your life. That's when you know that you know that you know that that Christ is in you. And then everything else is it's child's play. But you have to take that place of waiting only on Him in spite of every bit of evidence. And I don't know when that is for you, but it has to be some place. It happened to me first when I was a new believer. I couldn't do anything to help myself. I would have died had He not revealed Himself. And the same, and then it's been repeated many, many times, so that there's no question in my mind that He is my life. He is my own self. I have no self but Him. But you can't know that if it hadn't been tested, if you haven't tested it. Am I babbling again?
No. Well, you're like stand still. Now, physically, you can keep moving, but are you talking about standing still in your mind, emotionally and mentally, where you're worrying yourself and you're...
Yeah, your mind is where it's at. The action is. There's nothing else. Physicality doesn't mean anything. Okay. I mean, there's physicality in the Old Testament to show you what it is and what it means. Go to Exodus someplace. Shut up. Now somebody will come and say, don't tell the people to shut up. Shut up, whoever's calling me. Exodus 14.
I'm sorry, where are
Exodus 14.
We?
Exodus chapter 14. Now, this is the ultimate example in the Old Testament was the faith of Abraham in offering Isaac. But this has to be the penultimate, or the second thing, of examples of what I'm talking about faith. And so, the Israel has been given permission by the Pharaoh to leave Egypt. And Egypt, but then he changes his mind, and all hell is breaking loose. All his chariots are chasing, and they're standing at the Red Sea. Now let's. In verse 7, and he took 600 chosen chariots and all the chariots of Egypt and captains over every one of them. And the Lord hardened the heart of Pharaoh, the king of Egypt, and he pursued after the children of Israel. And the children of Israel went out with a high hand, but the Egyptians pursued after them, all the horses and chariots of Pharaoh and his horsemen and his army, and overtook them encamping by the sea beside Pihahiroth, before Baal Zephon. And I forgot what those two words mean, but they're important. But when Pharaoh drew nigh, and the children of Israel lifted up their eyes and behold, the Egyptians marched after them, and they were sore afraid, and the children of Israel cried out unto the Lord. Now, in you, we all know this, you've studied every time we study Passover, but you are Pharaoh. And Pharaoh, God is keeping, he's hardening Pharaoh's heart so that the test will be real. You understand me? So he got to put you in position where there is no, where there are no options. Now that position could be simple or it could be very dramatic. But you each must come to a place where there are no options. Now watch. And they said unto Moses, because there were no graves in Egypt, hast thou taken us away to die in the wilderness? Wherefore hast thou dealt thus with us, to carry us forth out of Egypt? Is not this the word that we did tell thee in Egypt, saying, let us alone, that we may serve the Egyptians? For it had been better for us to serve the Egyptians than that we should die in the wilderness. And Moses said unto the people, Fear not, fear ye not, stand still and see the salvation of the Lord, which he shall show you today. For the Egyptians whom ye have seen today, you shall see them again no more. The Lord shall fight for you, and you shall hold your peace. Now, this has to be repeated in you over and over and again. But there will be some, and each one of us are different, obviously. But for me, I was so hard-headed, there had to be these dramatic things where there was no question that it was the Lord. And I just pray that each one of you are faithful in the smallest things, that you don't lean on your own arm of understanding to try to get out of a condition. And really, that's the end of the Bible study, that you endure afflictions. Amen?
Yeah, that's the whole reason to get together, is to transfer this, you know, because everybody has these few things where you go, wow, that was an amazing thing. To transfer it into these everyday
Amen.
Deals.
That's right.
That's what it's all about.
Amen. And this is where it becomes real. It's no more a philosophy. All righty. What day is it today?
Friday.
Take it big, guy.
It's
3 Peter. Pete, there's no such thing as 3 Peter.